then that we really need to understand in order to comprehend the mystery of iniquity, as Paul described it, concerning the Antichrist, the man of sin, is that the Antichrist has already come and has been here since almost the beginning of the New Testament. There are now, remember, John said, many Antichrists, and they went out from us. They existed in his day. This is 2,000 years ago. They were already here. They were people who walked with Christ and then walked away, who walked with the apostles and then began to teach perverse things. They departed from the faith that had been revealed to the saints and began to teach a doctrine which even now still has wide acceptance among believers. This is the spirit of Antichrist. We do not want to be among those who hold simplistic notions about the Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit is a deeply religious spirit. It is here, and it has been here a long time. That's the first thing we want to know. Paul never mentions the word Antichrist. He calls this spirit by a different name. He calls it the man of sin, or the son of perdition. Perdition means destruction or damnation. And this spirit is the son of it. In other words, it has the nature of it. It produces death and damnation where it is received. When this man of sin, this son of perdition, this spirit of Antichrist enters in, when it's welcomed, it brings desolation. Jesus called it the abomination of desolation. God hates it, and if you embrace it, it makes you desolate of the things of God. Jesus said it was an abomination, but he also said, what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination with God. And the religion of the man of sin, the religion of the spirit of Antichrist, is very highly esteemed on this earth. It looks good. It says it's good. People think it's good, but it's without the holiness and power of the Spirit of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writes about this spirit in this way. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you not be soon shaken in mind, or alarmed by a spirit, or by a spoken word, or by a letter seeming to be from us, saying that the day of Christ is at hand." Somebody was writing these saints in Thessalonica, saying that the day of Christ was at hand. Jesus said one of the signs that his time is not near is that men would rise up in his name and say that it is. Have you ever heard that? Jesus could come back at any moment. All things are fulfilled. Jesus said they would be here, and they would say the time is at hand. And they did do that, and they are here now. Many of them, don't be fooled into thinking that Jesus is about to come at any moment. It's not time for him to come. I've been telling this to people for many years now. It's doubtful that Jesus will come in my lifetime, or yours if you're listening to me in the same year that I'm broadcasting this. Many things must happen before Jesus comes again. But the false teachers try to manipulate people through fear to give them more money, to do as they say, to carry out the ceremonies, to believe the doctrines. The spirit of Antichrist is in control of all of it to keep God's people under control. Paul was writing these Thessalonians and saying, be careful, do not fall into that trap. Then Paul goes on to say this, let no man deceive you by any means, because that day, and he's talking about the coming of Jesus, shall not come unless there comes first a falling away and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now notice that Paul does not prophesy to the saints here that the man of sin is coming sometime in the future. What he's saying, what he's prophesying, is that he would be revealed. He would be exposed. He would be brought out of the darkness and exposed for what he really is. He was already there. In the first part of verse 7 in the same chapter, Paul says, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. The man of sin was